some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio, Heritage Radio Network. It's March 22nd, 2011. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, joined by my co-host Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars. And our show tonight is Spite and Dival, Victory Brewing, the Craft Beer Think Tank Show. Ray, that's kind of a heavy title for a show.
Think Tank.
Think Beers. Tank.
Yeah, I know. It's like, when I think about beer, I don't think about thinking.
Yeah, why would you have a think tank show?
I think about drinking.
Well, the Craft Brewers Conference is going on in San Francisco, so I think that's why that's the title of our show. We're going to talk about numbers and growth in craft beer and some other cool things tonight with our special guests. We got Joe Carroll from Spite and Dival and George Vitre. And these guys know a lot about beer, one of the best beer places in New York City, and also a Good Beer Seal member. And we'll give a shout-out to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. Thanks so much. Check out Beer Cloud, their mobile app, if you want to learn about beer, GreatBrewers.com. All right, here we are, Beer Sessions Radio. Joe, welcome back, man.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
You really do run one of the finest beer establishments in New York City.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. I appreciate that.
But the thing I want to know about is the Big Woody event.
The Big Woody. The Big Woody we've been doing, I think we've been doing the Big Woody for 7 years now, since we first opened. And it kind of morphed into the Big Woody, but it's always been a late winter big beer event. And then it became a big beer and wood-aged beer event as more and more wood-aged beers kind of came on the scene. You know, we opened in 03. I don't know. There was like a couple of barrel-aged beers coming from the UK, maybe. And that was about it. There weren't many people putting beers in wooden barrels at that time. And in like 2 years after that, I think, you know, three quarters of all the brewers in the world were.
You're talking about taking beer, brewing it, and then putting it into a wooden barrel.
Exactly.
That may have had another alcoholic beverage in it prior to?
More than likely.
Like a bourbon or whiskey?
Most often.
Bourbon. They're the easiest ones.
Right.
And you're aging the beer in this wooden barrel that contained another beverage prior to this. And how long do they usually age these things for?
I think that varies. It's part of the you know, the brewing art, right? Mm-hmm. Some go in very briefly and some go in for, you know, over a year. And I think depending on the shape of the barrel, in other words, like, you know, how many times it had been used and what was in it most recently also will affect that. So if it's what they consider like neutral wood, you could leave it in there for a very long time.
Sure.
You're going to get very little influence.
But you know, I think it's amazing. There's a lot of barrel-aged stuff going on right now. And I guess the other big trend that I've been noticing is sour beers.
Right.
And I was at this event just yesterday, the Get Real thing that Patrick had organized from Rattle and Hum. Great event. And I think I saw the grand confluence of the two trends right now. I saw a sour barrel aged beer.
Sure.
Who was that from? Do you know?
I believe it's Chicago.
Goose Island.
Goose Island.
Oh, wow.
I think it's Goose Island.
Well, you know, a lot of the original sour beer, Lambic, obviously, are all barrel beers.
Oh,
technically,
yeah, but
different,
but not bourbon barrels.
Right. Different. Exactly. A kind of different use of the wood. Although Cantillon has done on two occasions a lambic that they age in old cognac casks.
Mm-hmm, they have, yes, they
and
have.
So that was an interesting thing. We actually took some lambic from Biersel that was just a straight 3-year-old lambic. This was going back a few years ago, and I had an empty 5-liter cask, a once used bourbon cask from Tuthill Town, and I took a little party keg and party tap and filled up this wooden barrel with still 3-year-old lambic from Biersel, and just to see what the hell would happen. And
by still, you mean cool. Unfizzy?
Right, exactly. like wine, mm-hmm. flat. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was pretty cool. It was a little intense with bourbon, but it was cool.
That's cool. So, Joe, you also have quite a few other places. You also have Spite and Dial Grocery.
Right.
And do you think that the beer selection at the grocery is equal to what you're selling at Spite and Dial?
Yeah, we try to do a lot of the same beers we do at Spite and Dival, but actually I can do more beer at the grocery than we can do at Spite and Dival. So we get to do a lot more American craft beer at the grocery than we can do at Spite and, because we're so kind of packed with the European craft beer, which is kind of how it was founded in the first place. When we opened Spite and Dival, that's kind of what we formed it around, because quite frankly there wasn't a lot of domestic craft beer available in New York at the time.
And you brought with you tonight, you brought George Vitray from Spite and Dial Grocery. Right.
George runs the show over at the grocery.
George, tell us how you got involved in craft beer.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. Basically, I lived a block away from Spite and Dial Grocery when it opened up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I lived a block away. I wasn't really that into craft beer, and I just started going in the bar right when it opened. Even before it opened, I had said hi to him, and he, you know, I walked in there and ordered a Pabst Blue Ribbon, and then proceeded to tell him he was crazy for not having a $2 beer in the bar. He gave me a Mars Pilsner, and it pretty much changed my life. From then on, I started drinking more and more beer and getting more into it. And then about 5 years later, he wound up in a store 4 or 5 years later. And by then, I had met all these great brewmasters and had taken lectures. And
yeah, George is the guy who came in asking for a PBR and then was teaching everyone else about craft beer about a year and a half later. Yeah. So,
you know, I did the whole list there and stuff. And then so I had the opportunity to manage the store, and I've just kind of jumped into that. And
I've got a question about the store. Why are you guys closed on Mondays?
It's slow there on Mondays, and you know, that mall, being in that mini mall, we weren't sure how it was initially, and that we did a relatively short contract on the terms of the lease there, because we weren't sure how it was going to pan out. And the weekends it could be a zoo there, but during the week it's kind of quiet, right? Until post say 6 o'clock or so in the evening, then everyone coming home from work kind of fill it up. But afternoons during the week are fairly quiet there, right, George?
Exactly.
Because I got to say, there's been numerous occasions when I've been looking for a beer on a Monday. For my liquids of interest that I do every Monday night. Right. And you guys had a great selection. And then it's like, oh, shit, like they're closed.
We were open 7 days a week for about the first 8 months. Yeah. And then we just looked at the numbers and decided that if we reduced that day, that it would be much better
business. Yeah, it just made sense. It was that slow.
So has Dwayne Reed's beer selection cut into your business on Bedford Avenue?
No, I would say absolutely not. No. In fact, I've done better since they got there, which is weird, but...
I've heard they're moving quite a bit of beer, though, there.
Well, they don't have that much great beer in bottles, but they have a pretty good
growler
list, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's great when a place like that starts doing craft beer.
I think it says a lot about not just the general craft beer situation in New York City, but specifically in Williamsburg and in Brooklyn.
And in fact, I think Jimmy's got some statistics right at his fingertips about the craft beer movement going on right now.
You know, we do. There's been a lot of growth in craft beer this year. Volume was up 9% for craft brewers sales. That's a lot, you know. There's more craft breweries than ever. And
Who's drinking that beer?
Men drink beer, but women drink a lot of craft beer too. So
more and more.
You know, if you want to attract women, you need to have craft beer or wine or other things. Right. But I'm not too interested in the statistics myself. It was better when, you know, somebody officially from Craft Brewers Conference or something actually says the statistics. I'm actually more interested in the beers that these gentlemen drink on a regular basis, because hanging out at Spite and Dival, you know, you're never disappointed in the variety and quality of the beer. So, George, what was your favorite beer from the weekend?
You know,
or just one of them?
Right now, I'd say my favorite beer right now is the Mikkeller Nelson Savon hop beer. But I would say that I really don't have favorites. It's really about maintenance and about trying new things all the time. I mean, I think that's really what I got into at Spite and Dival is,
yeah,
I mean, we don't drink the same beer.
We're bombarded with crap right now. It's like, we really are. I mean, right? Aren't you?
But Joe, just give us some of the pointers. What was your favorite beer of the weekend?
Let's go to yesterday, because I drank a lot more beer yesterday than I did over the weekend in general. I had a great beer from East End Brewing out in Pennsylvania. It's their Berliner Weiss. It was a 3% Berliner Weiss, and it was really well done. And it was a type
I have
of
not
beer
heard of them.
It's a type of beer I would want to drink
East
daily
End?
In the warm weather.
East End Brewing?
Yeah, East End, wow. out in Pittsburgh.
Have you heard of them?
Right? Oh, God, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah?
Good stuff.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, really, really tasty. I could have... I wished it was warmer out yesterday so I could drink even more of it, because it's that kind of... It's the beer that, like, you want to be drinking when it's hot out, you know?
You know, one thing that's cool about everyone in this room right now is we're all kind of here because the Shelton brothers, too, aren't we?
Yeah, no, I am on a huge... yeah, absolutely. Yes.
They're no okay. I mean, those guys bring in some good beer now and again.
It's all right.
We did a Shelton Brothers weekend this weekend, and it's funny because George mentioned McKellar. I had the McKellar Kopi, and it was supposed to be a coffee IPA, but you couldn't really taste the coffee, which was great because you didn't want a coffee IPA, but it was a beautiful beer. And I'm always amazed at how good and interesting those beers are. You know, have you ever met the McKellar guys? You guys know more about them?
I haven't met Mikkel, who's the right. the Mikkeller guy. I have not met him. I don't know much about him, to be honest with you. I've had his beers a million times.
Right, but, I've not met him. I don't think he's been to the city yet.
No.
I know they have some smallish brew pub in Copenhagen, but then for the most part they brew elsewhere, particularly
they do
in Belgium.
A lot of brewing at De Proof in Belgium, exactly.
Really?
I would say the majority of their beers actually are coming from De Proof in Belgium.
One thing I have to say, I just found out from Brian Hewing of 12%,
right,
that they're bringing in an interesting line of beers. It's
Evil
Mikkel.
Twin.
Mikkel has an identical twin brother, and he is doing beer now, and it's going to be Evil Twin Brewing.
Yeah,
Evil Twin Brewing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And Brian Hewing from 12% is going to be bringing right. that in the next
12%
couple
weeks, Brewing so. is they're bringing in some really great beers.
Yeah, really cool. So we did a few of their beers last night as well, and they were all outstanding.
Yeah, it's a really tiny distributor. Brian is just him and Maggie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Brian just quit his day job like within this past year. So yeah.
They self-deliver and stuff. I mean, it's really like a boutique importing and distributing organization, and they bring in some of the best beers that are available right now.
You know,
in the city.
It's funny. We're talking about these importers, and when I first heard about Brian doing this, my you know, original thought was, what's left? What is there that Dan Shelton and Matthias from BeUnited haven't brought in already from Belgium? And I've got to say, I'm absolutely shocked. I
mean, along comes Brian.
Brian has really found some amazing stuff. Brian,
what are you drinking here?
Oh, so this
first, let's make a toast because this is an awesome beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
No, I'm glad to share it with you guys.
Oh, wow, this is pretty aged.
So this is a 1987 Leafman's Creek.
Leafman's,
yeah. So.
When did you get it, Joe?
I'd like to say, I think everyone just had a sip. There's not a bit of sweetness to this, right?
No, none.
So it just goes to show you, somewhere after 1987, some stuff changed.
Terribly wrong.
Yeah.
But also, there's retention of conditioning.
Yeah, it's still carbonated. I'm kind of shocked. I expected it not to be. This is an interesting story, too. This was given to me right after I opened Spite and Dival by Bill Coleman. Bill loves this beer. He's you know, kind of obsessed with this beer. And I'm not exactly sure where he got it in Belgium, obviously. I'm not exactly sure where. And I barely knew Bill at the time, but he gave this to me as sort of an opening gift. And it's been sitting around for a while. I've been, you know, when am I going to drink this thing? And I knew how to bring something today. And I figured this was a
thanks
good
for sharing,
occasion.
Man. Yeah, this is great.
No question.
Thank you, Joe. All this right. is really, really fantastic.
And George, what do you think about this beer?
I like it. It's definitely not as, I mean, I imagine Leafman's being more a brown ale flavored with Creek. This is much more like a Rodenbach or something,
yeah.
Where it's a red sour.
It's got that kind of acidic bite, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly right. Yeah. Even Dan Shelton would like this beer. I think.
I agree. Right, and the acid is really in check too. I mean, it's there, but it's not getting in the way of anything. It's not. You know,
1987.
One thing that drinking a beer like this tells me is that just no matter how much I'm liking all the great American craft beers, I still love so many other beers from around the world, and especially Belgium. There's so many beers that I have not tried and I want to try, and it's a reason for us to keep on doing, guys.
Exactly.
Keep trying. Let's just we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with our guests about Craft Beer Think Tank. We'll be back in a moment on Beer Sessions Radio.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows she'll be there. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays our favorite song. Me and Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today's podcast is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. At GreatBrewers.com, it's all about the brewers. We got a special call-in guest, our regular roving reporter. Dave Broderick is out there doing his roving reporting. Dave, where are you, buddy?
I'm actually at an Indian restaurant right down the street from, like, three storefronts down from Toronado.
So you're in San Francisco.
I am in San Francisco.
In the hate.
Because I'm not in San Diego, which is the only other place Toronado exists.
Well, maybe our listeners don't know. Maybe I don't know that, but I thought you were going to be in Russian River or some other brewery today.
I'm supposed to be in Russian River right now, and I didn't make it because we decided not to drink today, and that explains the 12 empty bottles right in front of us.
You decided not to drink how much?
Yeah, we decided not to drink the 12 bottles.
Okay, but that's too late for that, right?
Sounds like a good plan.
It's like Pliny and Damnation, and I don't know, Optimum.
Dave, we have Joe from Spot and Dival here with us today.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Joe.
What's happening, man?
Oh, we're doing great. And actually, I've got Dave Keene right next to me.
Dave Keene?
He's like groaning. He doesn't want to talk.
Dave Keene owns a Toronado, which is one of the great beer bars of the West Coast, maybe of all of the world.
Of all of the world, exactly. So he's groaning, but I'm going to put him on the phone anyway. You guys want to talk to him?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
He's like, no. He's like, no. They don't want to talk to me. All right, hang on. Here he comes.
Well, Dave.
Yes.
Hey, this is Ray Dieter from DBA. How you doing, man?
Hey, Ray. How the hell are you?
It's all right, man. Last time I saw you, it was your birthday, and I was in San Francisco, and you really polluted me terribly.
I have a way of doing that.
Yeah, I know. I love your bar out there, man. I have a great time. Toronado is one of the great beer bars, like I said, in the world. And so what's going on out there? Are you having a lot of events for the Craft Brewers Convention?
We're having a few events for the Craft Brewers Conference. We're trying to get ready. Some people have already arrived. We're out having a little bit of lunch and some beers.
You're having lunch, huh? Yeah, that's a three-hour difference out in California. Yeah, we're just Well, so what's going on out there? So what do you do? How do you prep for all this influx of beer geeks and beer professionals coming into the neighborhood? What do you do? Wow. What do you do special? Do you try to like find great beers to have on tap to impress everybody, or how do you do that?
Well, we're trying to put our best foot forward. We're having a couple of events. We're going to have a Deschutes night with some special beers. We're having a New Belgium night with three beers with fruit aged in wood. We're having a Sierra Nevada night with their new Abbey Ale. And then a lot of single keg beer.
So you're working it. You're working it. You're setting it up for all the beer tourists and professionals. Dave? Dave.
All right.
Okay.
But if you come back on, guys, just give us a holler. But we're hanging out here. Let's bring on. We have another guest here as well. One of our real special New York City beer guys, Sean McCain, who is the area rep for the Victory Brewing Company.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, earlier Joe mentioned a Pittsburgh brewery, the East End Brewing. Have you heard of them?
I haven't.
You're not the expert of Pennsylvania beer.
I'm not
coming from Victory.
No, you'd think I would be, but I'm actually from Ohio originally. So
it's the other side of the border.
That's right. That's right. Those are fighting words.
You guys have some really cool beers, and I really like the new direction you're going with the Braumeister series.
Yep, Braumeister's doing really well for us.
Yeah, those are all delicious, man. We put them on a fair amount.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that. And the new one's the Tettnang, and it just came out, and that's my favorite one. It's just perfect example of a German unfiltered Pilsner for me, you know? I even like it so much I put it on my belt. Check this out, guys. Radio people, I'm sorry you can't see this.
He's got a belt says, what does it say?
It's Victory.
Did you hand stitch that yourself?
My girlfriend actually did. Yeah, it's all cross stitched.
With your craft beer and your handcrafts here, beer sessions.
That's right. Visuals on the radio—they work so well.
In this room right now, there's some cool guys about beer, and I feel like we're missing out on something. But we're gonna have to ask everybody some questions. All right. So we talked about their favorite beers from the weekend. Sean,
mine? That's easy because I haven't had a sip of beer for 6 days. It's this one. This 1987 Leafman.
It's your first beer in 6 days?
Wow. Yeah, I'm on antibiotics, so I had to lay it low. Self-imposed purgatory. I'm out of it now. Apparently,
you know, I've always heard that, and recently I was on antibiotics as well. And I remember growing up as a kid, you can't drink if you're on antibiotics. It kills the antibiotics or something, right? And then a couple of friends were like, "Nah, man, that's the old antibiotics." Now I don't know if they were.
Well, to be fair, the doctor did say, well, in moderation, you can, but I decided to just not, you know, take that chance.
You're kicking it old school.
You know, I like to do that. I'm not afraid to kick it mad style.
All right. Well, we got some guys out in San Francisco right now.
Are they back?
What is this Craft Brewers Conference, right? This is like...
Oh, it's great.
It's like a weird initial, CBC.
No, it's a great thing. Every year,
statistics about craft beer sales, and
this is not like.
Do they drink beer? Or they talk about beer sales.
Oh God, yeah, they drink beer. It's not about like a beer festival. It's about people, professionals in the industry, coming to a city and gathering to talk about the industry and talk about business. And it's really fun. They were down in New Orleans a couple of years ago, and we hosted a bunch of events down there, and. I was lucky to be invited out to Arizona a couple of years ago to speak at one of their events. And it's really fun because you get to see folks from around the country, people that you read about, people that you hear about, people who make the beer that you drink and you sell. And it's one of the great things.
Sean, you're a rep for Victory Brewing. Do you go to a lot of these conferences and events around the country?
I wish, Jimmy. Unfortunately, we being in 29 states and having a lot of other sales managers around... Bill Kovaleski's there right now with Steve German, my boss, and
so Bill's the brewer from Victory.
Bill's the one of the head brewers. Him and Ron Barchet. And every year we brew about 6 or 7 different varieties of beer, where we showcase new varietals of German hops from the German Hop Growers Association. So this year we have a dark lager that we're showcasing, a Bavarian Pilsner, a triple. I think we also have a Saison, and you know, I think a dark IPA. And each of those will have some new breed of cross-pollinated hops, you know?
You guys are in 29 states now?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Thank you.
Are there any conferences or events that you'd recommend, you know, that people should go to, like Montreal? I mean, is there a place that you would say...
Well, BCTC.
What's that?
Belgium comes to Cooperstown up at a Brewery Omegang. I think that's...
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I've yet to go up there for that.
You haven't been to that?
I have not. Bring the kids.
Yeah, don't go, Joe. You'll hate it. You'll hate it.
Yeah. It's bring the kids, go camping, drink some beer, meet some cool people.
So the end of July, the annual big Omegang event. George, what are your favorite beer conferences and or events that you've ever been to?
You know, honestly, I haven't been to too many events. It's not something I really have time to do.
Joe,
except for the events.
I never give George time off.
Which is, you know, the Lambic Festivals in the summer and the Big Woody. I'm really a Brooklyner, and I kind of try to stick to Brooklyn, too. So, you know, the real one I like is Alex Hall's Craft Real Ale Festivals.
Cask events.
So I'll go to those 3 times a year, because nothing like a nice cask ale.
I'm glad you said that. We're actually having one coming up in April. at DB in Williamsburg.
Yeah, you guys done a few now, right?
Yeah, they'll be our fifth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. Alex is amazing. He really
I
don't know where he gets this stuff. He pulls this beer out of his butt, and it's
great. He's been doing it for a while now. I'm sure he's got it down to a bit of a science.
Yeah, he's great.
And I think there's a bit of haranguing, too. I think he goes around to these guys, and he says, listen, I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Just let me have access to your beer, you know?
Yep, he does. He's got his own casks, and he'll... you know, drop them off for you and pick them up. Right. And
I know he does one or two events in the UK every year as
yes,
well.
Yes, he does. So, he's down in Brighton.
Right.
And you know, he's like the Cask Ale Grand Poobah right now, I think, in New York City.
So yeah, when you, I know you always have a cask. Do you always have a cask at Sputton Dival?
Yeah, every now and then we run into a situation where, you know, a cask finishes and the next cask that comes on isn't quite ready. It needs another day, maybe. But generally, yes, we always have a cask on.
So what do you look for when you buy a cask of beer? Are you looking for what?
It depends
on traditional cask style. You know, you're looking for.
It depends on the time of year. It really depends on the time of year. It's kind of funny because in the cooler weather, we'll get more stuff from the UK.
Right.
Generally, those tend to be easier drinking, lower alcohol beer. So I kind of wish that stuff was coming in the warmer weather. But yeah, you know, in the colder weather, we can do stronger stuff and it'll go fairly quickly. And then warmer weather, we want to put, you know, easier drinking, lower alcohol stuff on. I got to say, I thought when I put that cask in that we would do predominantly English casks. And the reality is it's few and far between when we can actually do English casks. So thankfully, a lot of domestic craft brewers are casking their beers, you know, to different levels of traditionalness. But nonetheless, they're putting a lot of beer in casks. So there's always a steady flow available.
Are there any American craft breweries that are making like an English style cask?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Good handful. You know, a fair amount. And well, some who are doing.
Who do you like that's doing that?
Well, I know, for example, Sly Fox. I think it has more to do probably with their New York distributor and their willingness to distribute many different casks. But Sly Fox, for example, came out with a beer that is a cask only beer for them. It's essentially, you know, a bitter, and that's the beer they put in cask. You know.
And Brian's a real fan of the English beer styles,
right,
too.
Right, exactly.
Brian's a brewer.
Yeah, yeah. This is Brian O'Reilly from Sly Fox.
Right.
Wow. George, what's your take on cask beers?
Well, I think craft brewing kind of made its bones selling a lot of higher alcohol beers and giving people that. And I just feel like, especially in the last year or so, a lot of the best beers have been lower alcohol and cask is a, you know, when you have a cask engine, you can drink a 3.5% beer, you can drink it all day, and it's starting to like move into the territory that the big brewers had always taken of the beer you can drink during a game or something, you right. know.
You know, also I'm really going back to Alex Hall. He's involved with the Wandering Star Brewery,
right? We did a cask of theirs last night. Yeah. Actually, brought it down.
The stuff's great,
right.
And he's doing a lot of great stuff. Lower in alcohol too. He's not making crazy high alcohol stuff, but
they should be coming to New York soon.
Yeah,
we've had a few previews and we're looking forward to trying them. Yeah, Wandering Star. And the funny thing is, they're an interesting story. It's about local beer too. They I think they first they're Wandering Star because they first were looking at some different towns in Massachusetts, and they almost got their brewery settled a couple times. So they were kind of wandering around the whole Northeast looking for a place.
And Alex. The brewery that Alex worked for in the UK in Brighton was Dark Star.
So Dark Star.
I think there's also right. a relationship
there's,
there.
There's definitely a correlation.
Right.
All
and,
right.
And their beer, I hear, is very good.
We did this event last night. It was actually a benefit for this beer guy from New York who wound up getting lupus and unfortunately isn't doing very well.
Joe, will you tell us his name? I remember that was real moving.
Randy Marcotte.
A real moving email.
Yeah. So Randy was a great guy, and he... When I opened Spiton, he would come in with a crew of these other beer advocate, kind of beer geek guys that were all around my age, generally, you know, give or take a few years. And, I mean, they were always there. They came in on a lot, you know, at least once a week. And then if we had events, they were always like the first guys in the door. And I became pretty friendly with these guys. And unfortunately, a couple of years ago, Randy got diagnosed with lupus. And he's actually in India right now, kind of trying to find some Eastern medicine, perhaps to help him out, at least maybe extend his life a little bit. So we did this event just to kind of get him some money, help him through, help him with some medical costs, help him with his travel expenses and so forth. So Alex was kind enough to donate
That's
a
really
cask
generous,
for this
man.
Event. Yeah.
Well, on another note, we're going to take a break in a minute, but let's just give a shout-out. There's a special event that Beer Sessions Radio and the Good Beer Seal and a number of local breweries like Brooklyn and Heartland and Victory are putting together next Monday. It's called Brewers for Brewers, and it's actually to support our friends in Japan. And we're raising money. Probably about 300 people are going to come to Brooklyn Brewery next Monday night. Check out goodbeerseal.com to learn more about that. And all that money is going directly to Mr. Kayuchi, who is also known as Hitachino Brewing. So let's give a little break here. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Go.
It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know.
Following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to Greenhorn Radio, hosted by Severin von Scharner Fleming, every Thursday at 2 p.m. Greenhorn Radio is radio for young farmers by young farmers. Helmed by acclaimed activist, farmer, and documentarian Severin Fleming, Greenhorn Radio is a weekly phone interview session surveying America's cutting-edge under 40 farmers. Again, that's every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We have a cool show here. Ray Dieter, we got Sean McCain from Victory, and George and Joe from Spite and Dival. This is a pretty cool show. And we're drinking in honor of Mr. Kayuchi and Hitachino Brewery in Japan. That's the Hitachino Nipponia. George, tell us about this beer.
This is a beer that just came out from Kiyoichi Brewery, from Hitachino Nest. It's very simple golden ale, pretty easy drinking, and it's brewed with Kaneko Golden, which is an heirloom Japanese barley malt, and Sirachi Ace, which is another heirloom Japanese.
Let me have some
hops.
More of this. This is really good. I've had some bottles of this at Jimmy's Number 43, and I have not opened one yet myself. So I save it for the good
It's
customers.
Very simple, golden, pale. It looks like any beer, but it's got a lot of balance, and the two unique ingredients give it a lot of like complexity that makes it different than other pale ales.
From what I understand, this hop was actually developed by Sapporo, I believe, and they came up with the hop and decided not to use it, and it sort of disappeared for a while.
It had too much flavor for their beer?
Yeah, I guess. Whatever they were looking to do with it, it didn't work out for them, and it kind of disappeared, and craft brewers rediscovered it. Garrett at Brooklyn did a beer with this. They're still doing it. About 2 years ago or so, he came out with a beer, Sirachi Ace.
Right, yeah, of course, yeah.
And it's an equally delicious beer. In fact, that beer is about 8%, and it drinks like it's 4%.
It's crazy. Like you can drink way too much of that stuff.
Really great warm weather beer.
But let's just give another shout-out to Hitachino. I know that Brooklyn Brewery and Hitachino have a special relationship. I think that Hitachino's been brewing some of the Brooklyn beers in Japan.
Brooklyn Brewery and every brewery has some special. Seriously. Yeah.
But the reason I got to give this shout, we heard about everyone's fundraisers, but with the tragedy in Japan, some of us had Japanese customers who asked us to do fundraisers. Blind Tiger last week auctioned off some art. I'm sure everybody is doing something for it. And the importers, Be United, has a special account. So we've decided that if you're raising money for Japan, we as people in the beer community are going to have money that goes into an account that Mr. Kiyuchi will draw on directly, and he will dispense for humanitarian aid in his community.
Yeah, the bottling line at Hitachino was shut down. You can go to their website and see some of the pictures and stuff. And when they got it re-going, they are just bottling water right now. So They're just doing what they can at their brewery to help.
So they're getting water for the people in the area.
Yeah, and you know they're pretty close to they got hit by the earthquake and they're pretty close to a nuclear disaster. So there's a lot of like problems, you know, in the future maybe that we could see. But right now they're just trying to feed people in a restaurant and get water to people.
And they're very appreciative of what's going on. But you know this is a real disaster and. We at Good Beer Seal and, you know, the brewers in New York, it's a, check it out, Brewers for Brewers. Next Monday at Brooklyn Brewery, go to goodbeerseal.com. You can, but there's only 300 tickets, and it's one night. And there's some pretty cool things like you can get at a silent auction there, you can get beer for a year. Jimmy's number 43 is offering beer for a year. Let's see what that goes for.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty intense, right?
Can I place my bid right now?
Well, and also Sean here. George, one more thing about Hitachino. Oh, you want a bid?
$1.
$1.50.
$1.52, yeah.
It's for charity, boys.
Right.
Come on.
Pony up.
All right. $5 at least.
But Sean, you know, being from Victory, moving forward to American craft beer, one of the beers that's most interesting is the Yakima, this black IPA thing. What do you guys think about the black IPA? There's been some talk about... Do you like it? Do you like the style?
It's cool. I have no problem with it.
The beer
it's
popular. The beer is good, but the name bugs the shit out of me.
Black IPA.
Black IPA. Black India Pale Ale. I think it should be IBPA.
It's like a BIPA?
IBIPA.
Well, it's, you know, India Black Ale. Right. I mean, I don't know.
We call ours a double dark ale, actually. Thank you. We try to resist the whole India Pale Ale word, even though even our hop wallop says it's just a very hoppy ale, even though it's definitely a...
But, you know, it gets the point across. When somebody says black IPA, you know exactly the style they're speaking of, right? I mean, I, you know...
Whatever.
Right. I look at it, I think it's cool. I have nothing wrong with it. I saw it. The first one I had, I think, was probably 4 or 5 years ago up at Extreme Beer Fest up in Boston. You know, I think sort of... We spoke about this earlier. It's sort of like the barrel-aged thing or the sour beer. With beer, unlike wine, let's say, where you know you're doing it once a year and those are the grapes you grow, you're always looking for something new. You're looking to sort of progress from what you've done in the past and break new grounds. And now, because of the entire movement as a whole, everyone's propelling everyone else to just go that much further. So,
yeah.
You know, it's the thing of the moment. And, you know, in a year or 18 months from now, we'll be talking about a completely new style. Black saisons, you know.
Ooh. Oh, don't start that.
Again, it's already existing. It's not like I just made that up.
Maybe the trend is towards beers with more color. I'll go for that.
I think another trend that we're seeing, at least that we're kind of getting on, is session beers. You guys were talking about session beers earlier on, and for our 15th anniversary, which was February 15th, we decided to launch a year-round new member of our family, which is a 5.1% pale ale. And instead of going the other route of like trying something high ABV, limited edition, you can only get it here for, you know, 3 months. Now we've got a new pale ale, the first time that we've ever had a full-fledged bottled and draft available pale ale called Headwaters Pale Ale. So that shows you where our brewery's taking the trend too. You know, we want to be able to give offerings of that seems to be calling from the masses of the craft world.
So, Victory, you guys have a brew pub?
We do. 350-seat
brew pub. And a restaurant?
Absolutely. 20 draft lines, 4 cask engines going at all times. Tours. We have tours all the time. Check out the website.
Nice place to visit.
It's amazing. We remodeled it about 2.5 years ago. It's an old Pepperidge Farm bakery. So, it's got huge, huge ceilings, and it's really well done. And the lads back in Downingtown knew what they were doing, and they set up a nice place.
Have you been out there, Ray?
No, I haven't. But I do have to go out there.
You better. Let me know.
Okay.
I'll make sure that it...
What's going on this weekend? Anything good?
In Downingtown?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. I'm a Brooklyn boy, so...
Okay.
I'm not there. I'm sure... yes. Actually, the answer is yes. Lots of great things. Everybody should go to Downingtown.
There you go. That's the right answer.
Just Friday nights, there's about a 2.5 hour wait for a 350-seat restaurant.
Okay, so we should go like midweek.
Well, you can go on a Friday if you like. It's an amazing place.
I grew up near there in Chester County in Valley Forge, and I'm here to say there's a lot of good breweries out there. And so there, you know, you got Victory, you got Sly Fox, you can take a look at, and there's actually a lot of nice beer bars in the area now, and it's really kind of coming out from Philly into that area, and mm-hmm. it's hills and vales, beautiful country. It's been I grew up there. It's beautiful.
A half hour drive outside of Philly, right?
Yeah.
It's like 40, 30, 35 miles, about an hour, depending on Philly's
traffic. Yeah, downtown's a little further.
Okay, it is.
But like Sly Fox, for example, is maybe a half hour.
Right. Yeah, I've done that drive. Okay, my brother
But it's worth the drive.
My brother lives in Frenchtown, New Jersey. How far of a drive is it from Frenchtown?
Where's Frenchtown?
That's never mind.
And I'm from Jersey, but I know Frenchtown.
It's right by the Delaware River. It's right like by Flemington. Frenchtown's right there.
Oh, that can't be too far, really. All in all, that, you know, because the other side of the river is like New Hope in that area.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that can't be too far. Again, maybe 40 minutes or something.
Okay.
But do you have tours that go to the brewery?
We have tours.
Anything from New York going on?
Right now, Rattle and Hum is working on putting together a victory tour. We haven't nailed down the date yet. We do that annually with Patrick, and I think it's going to be in June this year. That's what's that's kind of been the current one that's in the works. But if you go to the Brewers for Brewers event, Victory Silent Auction, you can actually get a $50 gift certificate.
Monday, large Brewers format for Brewers beers
and
Brewery.
A tour of Good the brewery as part of the silent auction.
All the money is going to Cayuchi Brewery, aka Hitachino. Joe, Spite and Dival still has my favorite events. Do you ever do anything outside of Spite and Dival?
No, we never have. We've spoke about it kind of, you know, briefly, but it's never happened.
Well, one of the coolest events that none of us heard of until it was over was the IPA Final Four.
Right. Well, that's actually not my event. That's Bill Metzger and the Brewing News. That's their thing. They've been doing that for a while. I've been lucky enough to participate in it a couple times as a judge, and it's pretty cool.
So you're saying that every year, in March, around March Madness,
right?
Is there always an IPA competition?
Yeah, it's called Hops Not Hoops.
So, yes, I've never heard about this until it was over, and I was like, why didn't I know about this?
It's more a think tank than an event, I would say.
Right. I've got the brackets at my bar in Brooklyn. It's hanging on
the
wall.
Yeah, we have ours up as well, yeah. So they start with 128 breweries. The first day they cut it in half to 64 and start the brackets, and they will.
Where do they do this?
In various places. Yeah, I know that, you know, they've done it in each round. Usually happens somewhere else. So like I think this year it was like Buffalo and Michigan and you know, somewhere else, and then it came to Brooklyn, and we did, myself and two other people did the final eight
with Jen Schwartman,
with Jen Schwartman and one of our Ron regulars, Carlson, Jen Schwartman, yeah. Exactly. And we did the final eight all the way down to the champion.
So what were the
basketball
beers?
Lingo, that's the great eight.
I'm sorry, the great eight. I know.
So what were the eight the top eight IPAs that you guys?
Oh man,
drank.
I will tell you that the two that were, you know, the one that won and what would have come in second place if there was technically a second place. The beer that would have been second place was the Ithaca Flower Power. I mean, it really kind of crushed everything else we tasted, except for the Lawson's IPA, Lawson's Finest Liquids.
From Vermont. Real nano brewery, dude.
Nano brewery up on the top of some mountain. You know, super small. I think it's a one barrel system he's brewing.
No, it's crazy tiny. Yeah.
Remember we had a month. Yes, we went to Omega. We did a couple remote shows this summer. We did a show
up in Cooperstown. Yeah.
And we had Sean Lawson and Brian Strumke from Stillwater. It was kind of a cool show. So yeah, you had Lawson's won.
Yeah, Lawson's won, and it was
so
pretty
Ithaca,
obvious.
Ithaca placed that high too, though.
Ithaca was great. I mean,
You know, we put on Ithaca Flower Power IPA, and people love it.
Yeah, it's a great
beer.
I
have it on tonight.
You know, and it's interesting to do stuff like this because I've always liked it. I always thought it was a great beer, but when you get to drink it side by side other beers, and you know, something kind of cool about it. You know, being an East Coast guy myself, that they beat out all of the big boys from the West Coast, all the, you know, the big heavyweights. And
I love that.
It's pretty cool, right? And that you know, the number one and number two slot.
Let's raise our glass to the East Coast boys.
There we go.
Sean Lawson's Finest, Victory Brewing.
That's right.
Cheers, boys.
Ithaca Brewing. You know, yeah. And Hill Farm, was Hill Farmstead in it too?
No, I don't. You know, I don't think so. No,
Victory also wasn't in it.
Victory wasn't in it.
That's why we didn't win.
Right,
but don't you make?
Yeah, and I do have to say Russian River Pliny the Elder wasn't in it, which is my favorite IPA. So
Well, you know, I don't know who was obviously you know that Victory wasn't in it, but
Sean, you don't make an IPA, do you?
A Hop Devil, Hop Wallop.
Excuse me,
Yakima Glory in front of you.
First beer I ever drank of you, the Hop Devil IPA. I love that beer.
But you know, it's funny. A lot of customers at my bars, if it doesn't say IPA, they don't think it's an IPA. For example, Anchor Liberty Ale. The the original American IPA, the first one. It's totally an IPA, and that's what Fritz is going for.
Right.
But there's IPA is not on the bottle, so nobody thinks it's an true IPA. And same thing with a Hop Devil.
Hop Devil, right.
It's very hoppy ale.
Right.
Very hoppy, but it doesn't say IPA, right. So it's not counted as an IPA.
It's not official.
Yeah.
Sean, what's it in basketball? What is it when you have the top eight? What's that called?
It's the grade eight.
What about the top 16?
Sweet 16.
Okay.
You can also do the Elite 8.
Should it be the Bitter 16?
In the beer world, yes.
Listen, with the amount of time we have on the show, we can't talk about basketball.
That's right. Ohio State, number one. Hello.
IPA.
Calm down.
But Joe, I mean, you know, so you're involved in other things besides just hosting those awesome events at Spite and Dival.
Every now and then.
Every time I get... what's your next event coming up? Because every time I get...
I'm doing an event...
I love those events.
This coming Monday with Hoffenstark. Fred from Hoffenstark is coming down.
Up in Canada.
Yep. Just about maybe a half hour north of Montreal. And I've been a fan of Fred's for years. Met him a few years back up in Montreal through the Ducel guys, the Ducel guys. And fell in love with his beer. Been up there to see him. We did his first ever event in New York, and we've done pretty much an event or two a year with him. And it's great. It's going to be almost all of the lines will be saisons, a couple other things, but it's going to be a saison heavy event. So
this coming Monday,
right?
So you're gonna have six lines on draft,
right? Wow. Exactly. I'm sure he'll bring.
So after the Brewers for Brewers event at Brooklyn Brewery, we should head over to Spite and Dival.
Sure. Hell yeah.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah, Monday's going to be busy. I've got my liquids of interest. We're going to do Japanese beers at DBA in Williamsburg, and then I'm going to try and drag some folks over to the Brooklyn Brewery.
Wait, when you do the liquids of interest, I know that... So the week before you vote, the people at the event vote on what the
correct
theme is.
Yeah, that's right.
But who picks the beers? Do you do that?
I do that, yeah. Yeah. They pick the subject, and I kind of decide which...
Did you pick your beers for the Japanese event?
Not yet, no. I'm going to do that probably on Monday.
Which ones do you think you'll pick? Which brewers?
You know, it's a good question. It's not going to be the usual. It's obviously heavy duty with Matthias' stuff. I'm going to look around. I see what's out there. I'm not going to say it yet.
There's not a lot of
there's
Japanese.
There's not a lot.
I mean, outside
not
of the good commercial Japanese ones, yeah. Right?
Have any of you had the Baird beers from Shelton,
sure,
Brothers?
Yeah,
the Baird's really... That's a cool guy, right? He's an American guy.
Yeah,
moved to Japan, married a woman, has a great brew pub.
Exactly. And the Isekidoya stuff that Chilton's also bringing in. Mm-hmm. Been a fan of their Genmai ales. Delicious. Really cool. And again, another... It seems like people are bringing up some really great warm weather beers, but another great
I don't think we give them enough credit, the Japanese, for their great brewing beer and sake traditions, because we all think there's these large breweries, you know, Sapporo and all this,
right,
other stuff, but
it's great stuff.
When we heard from Mr. Kiyoshi at Hitachino, I just want to say this. He said that just in his area, 10 sake breweries and 5 small beer breweries were wiped out by the tsunami.
Jesus. And what I was going to say is most of the big Japanese breweries that we're familiar with, Sapporo, Corinn, you know, Asahi Extra Dry, these aren't Japanese beers. These are Canadian beers. And they're brewed in Canada.
Ultimately,
German beers too, because they were breweries that were established by German brewers coming over, and you know, they weren't really Japanese breweries ever. And then, and still to this day, the styles that sort of predominate Japan are German style beers. I love Schwarz beer. Love black lager in Japan.
The same in Mexico too. Like all the Mexican,
right,
beers are based
pretty
on
much
German settlers.
Most of the rest of the non-European world was settled by German brewers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the reason why we use predominantly only German malt and whole flower
and
hops from Germany.
Well, you know, I think Pennsylvania has a distinct place amongst the craft brewing states in that they, more than any other state that I can think of, have really embraced craft lager more so than craft ale. And not to say that there aren't craft ales coming out of Pennsylvania, but way more craft lagers than
proper
I can think
decoction
of any other state. Yeah. And they just seem to get it. They seem to be the best ones being produced as well.
Prima Pils, what a great,
right,
lager.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why I'm working for Victory is Prima Pilsner. I love that beer, and I still love that beer, which is amazing how much I drink that beer. You'd think I'd want something else, but I don't.
Sean, how do you say Victory in German?
Victory.
What are we drinking right now? What is this beer?
This is our new one. This is our Headwaters Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. So this is made with predominantly Citra and Simcoe hops. So you get that
Simcoe, I can taste the Simcoe in there.
You get the Simcoe at the front, and then there's that little snap, if you will, of like a passion fruit or a guava for a second, and then it goes right biscuity. And
it's
what you
want.
You
also had a great Doppelbock this year, too.
Oh, yeah. I brought some of that, too, if you guys want to try it. St. Victorious. It's just coming to the end of that season. That's a delicious beer. That's one of Michael Jackson called one of his top 10 beers in North America.
You guys brew a lot of different styles, too.
Oh,
right?
I know. How many,
I know when I look through the Union list, sometimes it's like a page of just Victory stuff.
Yeah. Right? It's fun to sell.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's great.
It is fun. And we have just a huge catalog, and we do a seasonal, and then we'll do a secondary seasonal, and then we always have like these one-offs that we're doing.
Sean, any cool events that you have going on at any Good Beer Seal bars coming up?
Good Seal bars.
You did the East versus West Coast thing?
We did that. We're going to give a little break on that, but we're going to come back with a big force, and we're going to do an event at the Gate and at Rattle and Hum, but the dates are TBD on that. I'm doing an event at the Blind Tiger on Mikey's June 22nd, I believe, is the date of that, and we're doing 14 lines, and that's going to be pretty special. Bill's coming up from the brewery. And we're working hard right now on making sure that we get some very special beers for that. I like what the Blind Tiger is doing right now. They're doing a little past, future, and present kind of take instead of just a take over the taps. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, no, the Blind Tiger has great events right now. Ray, tell us about your upcoming Cast Festival.
Oh, yeah, we got that coming up with, once again, Alex Hull is going to be curating it, and we're going to have at least about 25 different cask ales. That's coming up the weekend. Actually, it's Easter weekend, so it's the 23rd, 24th, something like that. It's Easter weekend. We start Friday. We finish up on Easter Sunday, and it's going to be great. Alex has got always has great stuff.
And we'll hear more about that, and we'll give a shout-out to the goodbeerseal.com, Good Beer Seal Bar Events. This Thursday, March 24th, is the Midwest Beer Night at Barcade, a great place here in Williamsburg. Sunday, March 27th, it's a really neat Heritage Radio and Heritage Food sponsored event. It's the Museum of Food and Drink Kickstarter fundraiser at Del Post, a very fancy event, but it's the future of, you know, the Museum of Food and Drink. And Monday, our special event that we're co-hosting, Brewers to Brewers, a benefit for Japan. Now it's about nine New York breweries and regional breweries are joined together at Brooklyn Brewery. And I'll say one more time, you got to come to this event. Our friend Mr. Kayuchi, who's Hitachino, is they're there in Japan, and you don't really know what the future is for those guys, but in the meantime we're just trying to do something for them.
And it's only $50, and the amount of food providers that are coming in and the breweries and
Meat Hook, Sam Barbieri from Waterfront Ale House, some really,
really
great Japanese chefs. It's going to be a great evening walk around in the Brooklyn Brewery. Now is a great event space.
Yeah.
They moved their addition is their brewery, and their old brewery is the event space. So that's why we've trying to do a lot more events with them there at Brooklyn Brewery. And all the money will go to a special direct account to Kayuchi Brewery. Check out goodbrewseal.com for a ticket link and more. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com, and thank you to everyone tonight, Ray, Joe, George, and Sean, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Beer Sessions Radio. Beyond the human and environmental casualties of the triple threat disaster in Japan, there will likely also be losses to our collective food culture, from miso and sake makers to outstanding fisheries. With help from the New York State Brewers Association, the Good Beer Seal, Beer Sessions Radio, and craft breweries alike, Jimmy Carboni is hoping to raise funds that will go directly to Hitachino, an excellent Japanese brewery, through a benefit at Brooklyn Brewery next Monday, March 28th, from 7 to 10 p.m. In addition to beer, there'll be food from the Meat Hook, Jimmy's Number 43, Waterfront Ale House, and a few local Japanese restaurants. All money raised will go to Kyuchi Brewery and Hitachino Beers, which they will distribute via humanitarian aid locally.
To date, the brewery, which lost 500 bottles in the earthquake and suffered some damage to its physical plant, is filtering and bottling water for its community and providing them with food. You can read a letter about the quake's aftermath to Jimmy from Toshiyuki Kyuchi, the brewery owner, on his site. And you can buy tickets to the benefit on brownpapertickets.com/event/166978. That's brownpapertickets.com/event/166978. The following is a public service announcement from the Museum of Food and Drink. Dave Arnold and Patrick Martins have gathered a team of New York's most innovative chefs and bartenders to create a 9-course fundraiser lunch at Del Posto, Sunday, March 27th. Their intent? To kickstart the greatest food museum in the world. The menu for this unprecedented event is derived from educational themes of the museum. Chefs will draw inspiration from sources outside their normal sphere. How will a cutting-edge chef handle the Paleolithic, or a dish only using pre-Columbian ingredients? What will a modern Italian chef do with ancient Rome? The chefs include David Chang of Momofuku, Wiley Dufresne of WD-50, Mark Ladner of Del Posto, Nils Noren of the French Culinary Institute, Cesare Casella of Salumeria Rossi, Carlo Maracci of Roberta's, Brooks Headley of Del Posto, and Christina Tozzi of Momofuku Milk Bar. Bartenders include Audrey Sanders of Pegu Club, Thomas Waugh of Death & Company, Simon Ford of Pernod Ricard, Damon Boltley of Prime Meats, and Eben Clem of BR Guest Restaurants. Proceeds from the event will directly support the Museum of Food and Drink. Tickets are very limited and $250 per person. To purchase tickets, please visit mofad.eventbrite.com. That's mofad.eventbrite.com. Once again, mofad.eventbrite.com. Sponsored by Pernod Ricard, Heritage Foods USA, Pat LaFrieda Meats, Barterhouse Wines, Del Posto Restaurant.